Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chwaluski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're on location with a special guest.
We are literally in a brew house. We are literally in Round Lake Beach at Black Lung. Joshua Grubbs is with us. How are you, man?
Good, good. Welcome, guys. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having us out here. I feel like we just ran in here, we set up the camera and got a beer, and we're like, go. It was like intense, I guess.
Well, you know, we got to hurry up. Taste of Jamaica's here, and you know, there's a band that's going to be playing pretty soon, so it's like, yeah, I think this is the fastest we've ever gotten to set up for a show. So
it was pretty quick.
So we talked about with you back in COVID days, virtually.
In the before times.
Yeah. And so I feel like we need to touch on a little bit of the Black Lung story, and now that we're here, because when we talked to you, this was just kind of a dream or a goal. Right. Right?
Yeah. So when we spoke before, I believe I was still just doing distribution. And we had found this place and had started doing some work on it, but weren't quite done yet and weren't open yet. But now we are. We've been open for a year, and we did 250 barrels last year, so we're brewing some beer.
Congrats,
and
yeah.
We're in distribution locally and have a fantastic tap room, as you guys seen on your way in.
Yeah, I know. We're going to have to, like, peruse it a little more after we're done here and, like, get ready for the band.
And, you know, you're really making the most of this space, man. It's actually pretty impressive. Yeah, you don't expect to see this much going on when you pull up to it. You're like, oh, they got a nice little spot in the corner. And when you come in, and it's like, no, man, there's a bar that runs around the corner. There's two storefront doors. Yeah, it's pretty. You're settled in here rather nicely, sir.
Yeah, we had to make the most of a small space. It's a retail space. We got nice frontage on Route 83, which is just like 20,000 cars a day driving by, which was important for me to have a high traffic location and like kind of where some action's going on. So we pay a premium for it, and we had to squeeze as much as we could into a small spot.
Was the plan to always do like around like this area, or did you?
Yeah, like I mentioned to you, I've got a lot of history in this town. I used to work for the city engineer, and I kind of know a lot of the townsfolk, and I talked to them early on about my concept, and they were all very supportive and excited, eager to get a brewery. So they worked with me, and the owner of this building worked with me to get us in here.
Yeah, you know, we were saying on the ride up, man, like, if you count all the suburb breweries, there's actually more breweries in the burbs than there are in the city. Why are people so excited about breweries in the burbs, man, you know?
I think people are excited about fresh beer.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get the fresh beer that we can provide literally minutes from the tank. I kegged this beer this morning that we're drinking right now. You can't get that when you go to a normal tavern or to the local department store to buy your beer. And people don't want to drive downtown. They don't want to go downtown to they don't always want to go downtown. You know,
right.
It's a long drive. So they like having a brewery nearby. They still travel to all the other breweries, but they like to have the one by their house too.
Yeah,
I know, even for us, you know, our little whatever neighborhood spot is the closest is the one we often frequent the most. And it's just out of like convenience, and you kind of want to support that one by you. So
I think before Prohibition, there were 5,500 breweries in the United States. And we really just got back to that like a year ago. So since the 30s, we had very, very few. I think we're over 7,000 in America now.
Okay.
And it's really every town, every nice town. I said there's like 30,000 people in Round Lake Beach. Every town, 30,000 people can support a brewery, no problem.
Right.
Yeah. And tell us, you got three. I think you got three beers releasing today.
Yep.
We've got a really nice IPA on the table, man. What can you tell us about this?
So Galaxy 503 is, we call it a malt shake. I kind of made the word up, and my buddy told me to stick with it. There's no lactose in it, but it does have maltodextrin, and it's mashed fairly hot so that it has that like thickness to it.
Okay.
Galaxy, Motueka, and Nelson Sauvin hops, and then just a good chunk of Madagascar bourbon vanilla beans. So it's got that vanilla nose, and then kind of a grapefruit pineapple flavor. So it's like a pineapple smoothie.
Yeah.
Type of beer, yeah.
Madagascar vanilla.
Yeah. You know, not to be confused with Papua New Guinea
or Mexican,
yeah, or Tahitian.
You
know, yeah. You know, I'm glad you give us some context to our vanilla. We're always talking on the show.
Some people know the difference. I mean, can't say that I do. But.
I know there's a difference. I don't know. I could tell you the difference. But yeah. I know there is a difference.
Yeah, there is a difference. Yeah.
But this beer was also written up about, and you said people are like coming from all over to grab this.
Thankfully, yeah. So this beer, the first time we ever brewed it and canned it, we sent it out to the Beer Connoisseur magazine, and they rated it a 94 and put it in their magazine. That year in 2020, it ranked 16th out of 44 hazies that they had sampled.
Okay.
So we were on a list with Trillium and Treehouse and some other really amazing breweries, which was really cool. They just reprinted the article this year.
Okay.
They kind of reshuffled all the beers in there that they've done since. So we're back on that list. We're not 16th anymore, though.
We're still on the list.
Yeah, man. We're still on the list.
Has it become like your flagship beer, or is it like just one that you have to brew enough of because people ask for it?
Yeah, we get a lot of people coming here just for it, so I try to keep it on all the time. Yeah, and we had a month without it, and it's fine because we always have a good hazy on. So folks come in, and we tell them we don't have Galaxy, but we have Local J or we have Gazoodoo. So there's always something that they can try out, and we'll kind of tickle their taste buds.
Yeah. I feel like even having, like, yeah, something close to it, or it's like, oh, we don't have that one, but this... They came in for that one beer, the trust, and they got to think like, okay, I'm going to trust that your other one is probably just as good or at least close enough.
So the malt shakes we did kind of like a series. So I have quite a few different ones where we just go in big with the maltodextrin and the high mash temp just to have the beer be more fuller bodied. And we did like Time and Space was just on a little while ago. It just kicked. We had like a whole line of... Led Zeppelin themed beers that we did that were malt shakes, so it's been a good mover for us. So
I'm not only one that don't know exactly what maltodextrin is. I know there's hops, there's vanilla,
it's fake sugar.
Okay,
yeah,
okay, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's like a sweet and low or
I'm
something.
I kind of want to ask, but I don't really want to be the one that had that asked.
I feel like we are learning a lot
So maltodextrin is a non-fermentable fake sugar.
Gotcha.
So it sweetens the beer without, adds body to the beer without actually fermenting out from the yeast.
Okay.
I feel like we're learning a lot about the different hop chemistry, the yeast, like... experimental yeast strains, and now the brewing has become, I feel like it's more of a science lately.
It's definitely a science.
In the last, like, especially more so in the last, like, 10 years, it's become, like, just kind of insane, it seems.
Yeah, you've seen in the last 10 years in Chicago, like, everybody really constantly stepping their game up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the competition has continued to grow so much that everyone has to really brew great beer.
Right.
And they're doing it, and they're doing it a lot through awesome ingredients like the yeast that we can get locally from Omega and amazing ingredients from our local grain suppliers. So, and then through science.
Yeah.
And testing.
Yeah. Now we're in the brew house. A lot of these tanks are named after musicians. I know a few of them, you know, Jimmy Page, Tom Morello, Dimebag Darrell. What are these? I'm guessing these are sevens, and these are like 15s, maybe.
So these are behind you are Tens.
Tens.
That's Randy Rhodes and Tony Iommi are the Tens.
Okay.
They're like my two favorite guitar players, and then the Fives, the three Fives I have are Dimebag, Jimmy, and Tom Morello.
Okay.
And then Adam Jones from Tool is on the Bright Tank. That's a 10-barrel Bright Tank.
Nice. And then how big is your system back here?
It's a 5-barrel brew house. Nice. So when we want to fill Iommi or Rhodes, we have to do a double batch. Okay. It's a long day.
And with the like Zeppelin series and the tank names, was there any thought of like having the brewery be like a music themed or music named kind of?
So Black Lung Heartache is a song.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
It's a song by Joe Bonamassa. It's about a coal miner like in the last days of his life and kind of talking about who's going to take care of his land and his house when he's gone, you know, his family. And that's where we pull our name from. So we really are a music like inspired brewery.
Okay.
Family and music, that's kind of where our stuff comes from.
That's awesome. I love that it like, I don't know, it went together so well for that. And so.
Yeah, it had to, like somehow. In my mind, it all works. I don't know why for you guys.
Right, I feel like, did you tell us your wife like mentioned the name, right?
So back when we were kind of brainstorming the name of the brewery, and we talked about this before, we were coming up with all kinds of stuff like Route 83 Brewing, or we live in Grays Lake, so like Grays Lake Brewing or something like that. And although those are great names, and I'm sure somebody will probably take them at some point, they didn't speak to me and like my story and our family story. So it didn't give me a whole lot to talk about when someone said, hey, why is your name that? That's where we live.
Yeah, we're Grays Lake because that's where we are. Yeah.
So, and you know, nothing against
United States Beer Company. Yeah. We talked about that.
Yeah. United States Beer. So she heard the song before I did, the Black Lung Heartache, and she like kind of knew that I was looking for something that had a little bit more meaning. And it just reminded her of the story that my grandfather had told me when I was a kid that I had shared with her because I just thought it was a wild story about how he almost died in a cave-in in Kentucky after World War II. He took a job in the mines, almost died in a cave-in. And that event basically inspired him to leave Kentucky, to move up here to North Chicago, and he started working for Johnson Motors. He worked there for 30 years. Met my grandma, had our family. It's why I'm alive today. And when she heard that song, that story kind of came up in her mind, and she called me right away. She's like, hey, I think I have the name for the brewery. You got to check this song out. Totally reminds me of your grandfather. And that's what we went with.
Man, it's wild. Like, you see, you hear some of the themes and how so many things come together. And Afterthought Brewing, the wife came up with that. Honker's Ale, then that name came up from John Hall's wife. You know, you're starting to see a little thing. The more we hang out at breweries.
The powerful ladies.
Yeah, you start to see some trend in there.
Yeah, so. Man, she's a big part of all of it.
Yeah, and speaking of family, man, I feel like last time we talked, you mentioned, like, I know I didn't make this up. I feel like you said you had a family member in brewing also in Lake County, you were saying?
Yeah, so I heard your show last week. Danny Ray is my cousin. He's the head brewer at Light the Lamp.
Oh, Light the Lamp.
Right down the street. Yeah.
All right, yeah. I'm like, this is a weird thing for me to just make up.
They got that burger. I've seen the pictures of it. I'm like,
amazing smash burgers. Yeah.
Burgers are so good.
$5 Thursdays, I think. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can't go wrong with that. So up in our little corridor here on Route 83 now, you guys are talking about breweries in the suburbs. We've got in Grays Lake, which is only 5 minutes south, Light the Lamp. And then you got us here in Round Lake Beach. And then just north of us now, we have Harbor Brewing at their new location in Lake Villa.
Yeah.
So like 10-minute stretch of road, three breweries in the along Route 83.
That's cool.
Yeah, Dan was talking about Harbor earlier. There was someone I wanted to ask you. Oh, on our way back here to get set up, we ran across some barrels from Opadon.
Yep.
What you got in those barrels? And do you go hang out with those guys? I feel like that's a North Shore kind of thing too, the Opadon Spirits crew.
So we don't necessarily hang out, but I know them. And when I was working on this barrel project, I've got a couple other ones here that are like other bourbon drawing a blank right now, but other companies. And then the four Opadons that I have, we brewed a beer with Eric from Riverlands.
Okay.
we're just aging it right now. It's Coal River, it's going to be called. Mm-hmm. And it's just a big old massive barrel-aged stout. So we're sitting on it right now. Hopefully, maybe early next year it should be rolling out. But yeah, those are the open on barrels.
Nice.
Yeah. So maybe something Phobab.
Potentially.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Bug's coming up. You're going to be a Bug. Is this your first beer in a glass?
No. I went to my first beer in a glass, I think, like, maybe 5 years, 4 years ago, like 2 years before all the stuff. And then last year we were in it. Yeah. We served at the Garfield Conservatory.
Yeah.
And then this year we're in it again at Union Station.
Yeah, you missed last year. I was there.
Yeah, I was super paranoid last year.
But I was also about to...
It was very hot.
Yeah.
Hot. It was very, like, in the sun. You felt like you were baking.
I was baking in the sun the whole time. Yeah,
and I was there.
I'm kind of a big guy, so not cool.
I was by myself, so I was just wandering around a little bit. But and it was smaller this year.
Actually, that's where I met Eric from Riverlands.
Oh, nice.
And we ended up doing the collab together. Totally had a great time hanging out.
Nice, yeah. It was much smaller last year, and this year I feel like... just where we are in the state of things, and it's just going to be kind of this big party in the new space. I feel like it's going to kind of just blow everyone away.
I believe it'll probably be fairly reduncular.
Yeah, it's going to be a fucking train wreck. Yeah.
Right. So are you prepared for it?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm probably not going to go.
What?
No, I'm joking.
But yeah, Illinois Craft Beer Week is coming up, so you're gonna do that, and then do you and like other people in the area have things planned, or you do anything around the week? It's a weird, like, we've always said, like, every week for us is Illinois Craft Beer Week because we just talk about Illinois Craft Beer.
Yeah, we do the show.
Yeah. Well, I'll be, what is this, a week after the 13th or the week before the 13th? I'm trying to remember.
13th kicks it off.
Kicks it off, right? Yeah. So I'll just be coming back. Yeah, it's going to be a great week. I don't know.
Okay.
We're going to probably do something. It will be epic. Actually,
it's tough because, you have
talk amongst yourselves. I'll figure
it out. You have like three beers out today, Mexican lager, the coffee.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know. I wanted to know about this coffee stout, man, because I actually thought about getting that first. But I'm like, fuck, we haven't eaten. We've been on the road.
Band, and then, so it's like you just have things happening all the time. So it's kind of silly to ask, like, what's happening in a month? Because you're like, there's so much happening.
Yeah, you seem to be rolling all the time.
There's literally something happening every single night or day at Black Lung. It is lots of planning and meticulous, just like note taking. But the weekend of the 13th, we've got the L&M Experience playing here, so we'll be rocking with those guys. And then that Saturday, we got Mill Creek Jumble, which, if you're listening to this and you're in the area, come check out Mill Creek Jumble. Awesome bluegrass band.
You know, man, how do you find these bands, man? And then also, what's your relationship with the coffee that's in the stout?
Jumping around a little bit.
A little bit. I should have just asked one question.
So
let's talk about these bands,
some of the
man.
Bands
talk
come
about
to
these
us,
bands.
And you know, I look them up. I'm a musician. I play guitar. I used to be in a band, so I'll check them out and see if they suit like what we do here. Mill Creek Jumble, I actually. A friend of a friend type of thing. I was serving beer at a wine walk in Grays Lake, and they wanted to have beer too, and in a resale shop. And these guys are playing like in the other room. I'm like, what's going on over here? And I just got their numbers and stayed in touch, and now I have them here every month, once a month.
Nice.
Where do they set up?
Right on the other side of these tanks. Yeah, right in front of the garage door. Yeah.
The space is it. Big, but it's not small either.
It's big enough. We make it work. So they set up right on the other side of the tanks here, like under the lights. And then in the summertime, we put the door up, have them out in the tent, and then the sound just comes right through the building here.
Yeah, that works out. Did you look at other places before this one, or you how did?
I looked at a couple. I looked at a couple, and like the whole like spaces. Like kind of back in industrial parks and all that stuff. I kind of looked at a few of those spots. It just wasn't really what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I think I was inspired by another brewery you guys chat about a little bit, Roaring Table.
Oh, right.
So I just really liked the convenience of having all the parking spaces and being able to get in and out pretty easily and for the customers. And as far as brewing goes, I got a garage door, so I get in and out of here pretty easy.
Yeah.
So it's just more important for me to just be like where people are at.
And yeah, depending on like how or as you grow, you could probably be like, we're gonna take over some more and keep going.
One day I'm hoping that the dentist retires and that I can buy him out.
Slide right into the, the Chinese joint? We were saying, you know, what looks cool is this fucking Credit One building.
Yeah.
Just have a brewery. Fucking
crawlers down the fucking chute in the drive-thru.
Just like,
it's a good looking building.
Design our growlers to go through that thing.
It's a good looking building, man.
There's more of those available than you know.
So you asked about the coffee.
Coffee stout. We're huge coffee. We're huge in the coffee. But then also, the only thing that'll surprise you about the number of breweries in the state is the number of fucking coffee roasters.
Yeah.
There's like a ton of coffee roasters. Yeah. And every time you see a new one, you're like, oh shit, I didn't know.
Yeah. So Tala Coffee Roasters are in Libertyville, which is just like two towns away. And they have a cafe in Highwood, I think, which is not much farther away. And I talked to Ryan over there about getting us like a special blend. I wanted to come out and check it out, and went out to his place in Libertyville, did a bunch of samples. Like they prepped a bunch of coffee for us to try, and
I like cupping experience. It's kind of fun and also like sucks at the same time because you're like,
when you're done, you're like all jittery and you feel like you're gonna jump out of your own socks.
You have to like drink it real fast, right? Is that a cupping or is that I'm thinking of something else?
Yeah.
And then like you're just drinking a lot of coffee too. I don't know. Maybe other people don't. Maybe I'm just bad at it. I don't know. But we settled on this blend. It's Guatemalan espresso. Their versions of those, and just loved them both. So I'm a big Guatemala coffee fan. Like, I don't know about you guys, but like everywhere I go, like different coffee shops, I look for their Guatemala blends. For whatever reason, that's the one that really speaks to me. And every time, like that's always my favorite one wherever I'm at. So I don't know if it's a roast or if it's the bean. I don't really know much about coffee, I guess.
I feel like there's like a Guatemalan pea berry that I've had that's like really good.
Okay.
I'm more of an Ethiopian guy. No, I'm totally joking. I have no fucking idea.
He had some Ethiopian, and I thought it was like no kidding. Like it was like grassier to me or something. I didn't think it would go as well in the stout.
Yeah, I think coffees and lagers.
Maybe more like wildflower or something. Like it wasn't like as like robust.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll only know the difference in them if I have them all in a row. Kind of like lagers for me. We were talking about lagers, and we're like, if I have them in a row, I'll make sense of them. But outside of that, yeah, I don't know.
I think I see what you're saying. Like, for me with coffee, like I know dark versus light. Obviously, you can taste the difference and all that. But if you said, hey, what country do you think this came from? Like, I don't know.
Cool. So with all the new beer you're kicking out, are you testing the recipes like on a homebrew system first, or you just kind of like go for it when you're here?
So I've got recipes that like I trust that I have homebrewed in the past, and I might make like minor tweaks to them before I throw them on the 5-barrel. But I'm not like making a tweak and then going back to the homebrew setup to do a test batch.
Okay.
I usually just start right on here. At the end of the day, our processes are good. And I know that the grain is good. I know the ingredients are good. So I trust that it's going to be a solid beer. And, you know, you guys will get to try Pancho and Lefty pretty soon, hopefully, and you can let me know. That's the first time that's ever been brewed.
That's the Mexican lager,
yeah.
Okay.
And it just really comes down to process and good ingredients.
That's fun, yeah. We've recently brewed over at Emmett's. Just like seeing the process, like hands on, like we've known the process and then actually do it. It's like a whole other experience. It's kind of,
it's harder.
It's harder. And also like,
we're still here.
Every homebrewer has like the idea of one day opening a brewery.
Yeah.
Many of them that are my friends will come in here and help me brew and then thank me afterwards for reminding them how difficult it is and that, so maybe they'll hold off on opening a brewery. It's just, it is hard work.
there's always that direct connection for a lot of folks at open breweries. Were you at another location, or did you work anywhere else before this, or this is a direct connection to passion?
I was at Zoom Beer in Waukegan, I was just doing cans and distribution then, and we were up to like 50 distro spots at that point for a little while, and it was just like a lot of turnover, man. Just like hurry up and brew, hurry up and can, hurry up and distribute. It wasn't a lot of fun. So it got old pretty quick, and I think about halfway through the first year, I was like, okay, I need a brewery. I want to talk to the people that are drinking my beer. This isn't as much fun as I thought it would be. It's fun to brew. Like, don't get me wrong. There's nothing more fun than Brew Day. Brew Day is a hell of an exciting time.
Yeah.
But there's everything else involved, too. And then actually getting the reward of somebody drinking your beer and saying that they like it. You don't really get that when you're in distribution only.
Makes sense. Yeah, you don't get that direct feedback. Like, you're here. You get to pour someone your beer and be like, I made this, and see the look on their face and be like, up, or like...
Yeah, sometimes it can be bad, too. Like, they might not like it.
Yeah, they'll be like, what the fuck's going on? But you can also get to curate the experience, too, right? Like, you know, your type of vibe around the type of thing you like to
Precisely.
Drink.
Precisely, yeah. That's a big part of it, too. Like, now you get the whole Black Lung experience with the 40-foot Black Walnut bar and the Edison bulbs and like the whole like not back here, like I said, this is like the surface of the sun back here because we got to work, but out there for the customers, for the patrons, it's a nice mellow chill vibe.
Yeah,
so you said you were about a year, and we talked to you during COVID. Were you concerned, like, in the middle of this you're opening a brewery, you're like, What was I thinking?
Nah, I figured it'd be fine.
You're like, it'll work
this
out.
This shit'll pass eventually. It's no biggie. No, I was desperately worried. It's like, what am I doing? And like, my wife's like, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Just keep going.
Because we just talked to Salmo's crew, and like, we talked to them during COVID, and like, it's a weird thing to be like, what you've kind of tried to do during that time, and then now you're like, well, it's back to normal, and it's actually better than what it was.
It's kind of like full speed ahead with brewing right now. Like, it's going, like, the beer's flying out. I'm brewing as much as I can, as fast as I can. We have really good crowds in here every weekend, so we're putting on like good shows for them, trying to have excellent beer for them. And I wouldn't say you wouldn't know that COVID ever happened. I'm not going to say that, but like, people are coming out again, and it's good.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting, like, being someone that we just work at the computer all day, so our jobs haven't really changed, so that customer-facing role is just kind of interesting, like, the thought process.
So, like, the timing of all of that, for me, wasn't quite as unfortunate as it was for a lot of our peers. Like, at the time, I was just doing distro when everything kind of stopped, and I was in an alt prop, so all I was paying was rent.
Okay.
So I didn't really have any overhead except my rent, and if I didn't brew, I didn't have any expenses. So I just kind of kept brewing for a little while, and then when it slowed down for me because the market got flooded, I just kind of slowed down my brewing, and then I just started looking for a tap room.
Okay.
And I had already found this place, I think. Trying to remember the timing of it.
But you probably got like a better deal.
I got a better deal, and I got a better lease, and I got some outdoor space and stuff because of COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, I went back to the table when they actually shut everything down. So when I went back to the table and just said, hey, I got to have an outdoor space. I need parking spots out here so I can set a tent up. And they were fine. I said, yeah, absolutely.
Final offer, goddammit.
Yeah.
Did the tanks come from someone else, or did you have to order all those new?
I had some of them. So there was an old brewery in Antioch that wasn't around too long.
Is that the Chain of Lakes Antioch?
No, it was.
Just throwing out stuff I've heard over the years.
I'm going to feel bad later when I remember the name.
We don't know either. It's fine.
So I bought, he just was like a computer programmer that was brewing on his own.
Really
sweet dude. Got out of it. Hopper's Garage. Hopper's Garage. And he got out of it, and I bought all of his equipment, which included everything you see here except for those two big tanks and this big bright tank behind me. So when we moved here, I moved all this stuff over from Zoom And then I added these three tanks.
So you had them at Zoom.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was just all brewing right, over so there that, with the same equipment.
Okay, so that's nice. You weren't like renting
their... It was really just like a move.
Yeah, you weren't renting their equipment and then having to find all new stuff.
Right. Yeah, okay. I already had it all. Yeah. That's, so coming here, though, I had to like... I built all these glycol lines and stuff. I mean, it was a lot of work. My biceps still don't work the same. I'm not a plumber. That's what I learned.
Right.
The focus is to primarily have people come here for the cans, right? Yes. In comparison to the other place, right?
Yeah. So here we have all of our cans in the to-go fridge for you to pick up. We have a to-go license, so you can buy beer to go. We also have it all on draft. So just about everything we have on draft, everything we have in cans, we have on draft. Not quite vice versa. So we can certain beers, but we don't can all the beers. We may eventually can all the beers, but I kind of like to see how they're going to do in the tap room before I put them in.
And
you
got to keep something special at.
Right.
Know,
yeah. Come to the tap room if you want to drink
it. When
yeah.
You don't often have one beer at the tap room.
Right.
So, yeah.
And we do have growlers too. So if you really love it, we'll put in a growler for you.
That's cool. Man. So what was the other, what was the third beer that came out today? We talked about the Mexican lager.
The Mexican
coffee.
Lager. We got the coffee.
I think we're drinking it.
I think we talked about Galaxy too.
Oh,
didn't
okay.
We drinking Galaxy
it.
503.
Oh, okay. I thought for some reason I thought it was a new beer.
So we talked about the coffee, but we didn't talk about the beer.
Oh.
So the Tala coffee is in your What Hurts. Again, family story. Grandpa used to say that to me when I was a kid. He's like, I would just like whine about something when I was a young kid, and he'd say, "Ah, your What Hurts," you know, like kind of like shut up, you know. You don't got nothing to complain about. You're too young.
I like it.
I get it now. Now that I'm 40, I get it.
Yeah.
Your What Hurts is it's just a big. I guess it's not that big. It's a Russian Imperial Stout, but it's 8% only.
It's a good size.
It's a good size. It's got a good, really nice body to it, just a really good amount of that Tala coffee special blend.
Did you reference any other Imperial Stouts when you were kind of doing it, like, you know, Dark Lord has coffee and Epic Hugs?
Dark Lord
does have coffee, though.
Your What Hurts is a 3-time homebrew winner. So, like, I've won awards with this beer when I was brewing it in my garage. We're still trying to win one as a professional brewer. I'll let you know when that happens.
World Beer Cup is like about to happen, right?
Yeah.
This
got brewed though, so okay. Like, not going to make it into there, but it's going to make it into something. So we do got some beers in the World Beer Cup though.
Okay, hold on. We'll talk about
Dortmunder
that's
and Galaxy
yeah.
503. Got to get that 503, baby. It did well in homebrew, and it's just a recipe that I carried over, and it's actually kind of like the child, I would call it, to our other big stouts that we have, like our Max Headroom, which is like our large Imperial style we do. It's like 11-12%. So it's just got a little bit of rye in it, and it's a really nice like Maris, amounts of Maris Otter, and it's just like it's a great bodied, well balanced stout.
Rye sounds nice. Clean things up a little bit. Not too crazy sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like we had it. Like, it might have been one of the cans.
I think
us.
I sent you guys some at some point.
I probably gave it to you.
Because early
like,
on,
I'm not
I was
drinking this 11%
just
beer.
Trying to get anybody to talk about my beer so people would know what it was and buy it. But yeah. I think I sent you guys like some 4-packs or something early on.
Yeah, that was great. I think that was one.
Oh, you're going home with beer today. Oh. I heard you. You said you didn't have much of my beer or something like that on your show. Right. So you're going to get some beer today.
Yeah. I think that's why we were saying in the car, man, we quit using Untappd and started doing IG. But we got to take pics or it all becomes a blur if you don't take the pic. Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I use my IG to, like, remember when I'm out of the brewery, like, when I brewed something. Like, somebody says, like, well, when's the last time you brewed that? Let me check Instagram.
Yeah. It works out.
So, yeah, the World Beer Cup, the Prec Brewers Conference is happening in Minneapolis. Like, is it like 2 weeks away or something? Or it's like
it is Monday.
Monday, yeah.
Yeah, so. I'm wheels up at 8 a.m.
Okay, that's
nice.
Awesome. And
nice.
So then the awards happen at the end of the week there.
Yep, Thursday.
And so you have this beer in there, anything
else? This beer's in there, and we also have our Dortmunder Export Lager in there.
Okay.
And we have high hopes for that one. That was just a stellar beer for us here in the tap room. So sent that one out for them as well. And I don't think I had a lot more to send them when they were asking for beer. So that's what they got. They got Galaxy and Dortmunder.
Do you think they got a... Man, it's kind of tough. I don't know when they asked. When did they ask for beer? Do you think they got like a different, maybe everyone wasn't up to capacity, like to the levels that they were before? Or do you think people had stuff to go?
Oh, I think there's probably a lot of beer that those guys are tasting. Yeah. Okay. Everybody kind of sits around waiting for a World Beer Cup. That's like, I don't know. I think it's kind of revered as the more prestigious competition.
Bad.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's every other year. Yeah. It's not like JBF.
That's kind of it's a big deal.
Yeah, we talked about going, so we go to the Prince Museum and hang
out
there.
And you can like, well, I mean, the convention's up there, so it's like CBC, so they have like all the tank vendors and brew house vendors and stuff like that.
There's going to be a symposium beer. There's always a symposium beer.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll have a closing ceremony, unlike some events that we talk about often.
So this is in there. Do you think Chicago wins or Illinois wins this hazy category again?
Of course. Yeah, man. I mean, it's like the best hazies in the country are in Chicago. Come on.
Yeah, like, we really should start calling it like a Chicago style.
It's a Chicago style.
Instead of New England IPA.
Well, that's really why I call it a hazy IPA. I think hazy is a Chicago term. In my mind, it really is. Like, it's not a New England style, because New England styles have, like, freaking hop leaves and yeast and shit in them. Like, nobody wants to drink that crap. And ours don't. Like, ours are clean. And they're hazy. It's stable haze.
And I feel
this
like
beer, as hazy as it is right now, you pop a can in 9 months, it'll still be exactly that hazy.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like the Chicago ones are much more drinkable. Like, you can have a couple of them and not be like, all right, I need, give me that lager.
Right. Don't get me wrong, man. I love me some lagers. But, yeah, I think ours are as good or better than anybody in the country. And, I mean, that's why it's hard to... like get noticed as a young brewery like us. Like, we're small and young, but we do hazies. I got four on right now, so they're popular. People love them.
If this takes any kind of metal, like, you're in trouble. You're just gonna be here like around the clock. You gotta get more tanks and is the canning line a mobile canner?
Yeah.
We
use Willcraft out of Oak Creek, and a lot of breweries around here use them, so they know where they are. Sean's a good dude, and he just has his little skinny guys push that mobile canner right up my ramp out there, and we had it set up in here today, man. All these barrels that you see, all the stuff over there, it was all in the front of the building this morning, and I moved it all back at noon, so we just can it right over there and goes right into the cooler.
Okay. Yeah, I don't even, like... Is there hopes to have your own canning line at some point? I don't know where you put it here right now, but you're good.
No, I'm good with
that?
Mobile. Yeah, I'm good with mobile.
Okay.
Like, this place isn't big enough to store it, and storage is a premium for me. So, I'd rather just. I did the math. I don't save a whole lot of money buying my own. Then you got to pay for it. You know, so then you either finance it or dip into your savings to pay for the thing. I it's kind of like a payment just having them come out and do it. So at least I don't got to store it.
Makes sense. Man, what else is happening?
It's good stuff, man. Congrats on the space.
Thanks, man.
And the beers. I dig the vibe. And then it feels right when you pull up. And I didn't know the window's open.
Yeah.
You pull up, you know, there's bands, there's barrel-aged beer. It's a good hang. The space looks great. The bar has this, it takes up a lot of space. It curves around the corner like it's a proper bar. Like, I was expecting, like, what's the word? Like, you know, like a bootstrap operation. Like, you know, like, bare bones, like, hey, we're just getting started, but you come in here and it feels good. You know what I mean?
I did a lot of the work here myself, so I could pay really good guys to do that bar top. Like, these guys are pros, and like, you walk in and you feel like the space is alive,
right?
Because you've got industrial, like the big tanks, right, like in the foreground, like I guess in the background. When you walk in, you're looking deep, and then you kind of look at what's close to you, and you've got what looks like a living tree laying on top of the bar. And then you look to the right, and you've got an old farmhouse wall, like old, I don't even remember the term, poutine or puntine or whatever, like the old like farm boards from an old farm. So tried to make the space be like a really good mix of of just industrial and farmhouse.
Nice.
I'm digging it. We gotta look around more. You've been here, so you've experienced.
It was on and popping. I barely got a seat at the bar, and I was like, "Oh shit, it's live in here, man."
Well, yeah, the band's like about 30 minutes out from when they're gonna kick off. So
Judson
it's gonna get.
We got some really killer bands this weekend. We do every weekend though, so yeah. We got events going on every night and bands every Friday and Saturday.
Okay, nice. And then how often is new beer getting, like, canned, released?
I bet we put a new beer out at least every couple of weeks. Okay. And then as far as cans, probably every 45 days, new cans.
Okay. Nice. Well, that's awesome. So what's the best place for them to keep up? Like Instagram or Facebook?
Definitely Instagram, Facebook events.
Okay.
For sure. And then we have the .com too, blacklungbrewing.com, which you can go there if you need to contact me for anything or have a question.
Cool. Yeah. So all you bands out there, man, you know, where you can come jam on the weekend, you know.
Right.
Yep.
Well, that's cool. I feel like we got to get this Mexican lager, the coffee, the Russian Imperial Stout, and I think that's going to do it for this episode.
Yeah, man. Joshua Grove, thank you for having us, man.
Guys, it's a lot of fun. I'm really excited. You got me off my couch and got me back over here. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Cheers.
Cheers.
We like to say prost.
Prost.
And we tap it down. There you go.